You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Cities across the nation beginning to clean up from the riots that took place last night and over the weekend. At last report, something like 4,400 across the nation arrested, taken into custody in relation to some of that chaos. And I want to reinforce to you, when it comes to cleaning up some of the areas, volunteers coming forward. May not even live in the area, may not have a business that was looted and destroyed, but volunteers are coming out, different races, different ages, unified simply to come out and try to restore peace and put things back. That's an encouraging sign. But with nightfall, you fear what's going to happen next. And in fact, they were having basically peaceful protests yesterday in Boston. But when night came, here come the thugs in the shadows, throwing rocks and then starting to break into stores, putting a police vehicle on fire. New York had the same thing overnight. They arrested dozens of looters. Reportedly, some of the looters had a system. Someone would break into the store and then leap into getaway vehicles outside. In Portland, Oregon, again, violence. Various projectiles thrown at the officers. Police said protesters were smashing windows at the federal courthouse. And they continued until they were chased away. In Cleveland, I'm not sure if you're getting the full story of what's happening in Cleveland, because according to one of the TV stations in Cleveland, last night, the Cleveland police said no media allowed downtown unless they're actually inside their place of business. Well, you can't do that. You're talking about censorship of the press? You can't do that. They're eye on what's happening. And then, of course, we had violence around the White House last night. Hundreds gathering, throwing fireworks, debris, bottles at Secret Service. Secret Service ended up having to use rubber bullets, tear gas, pepper spray. National Guard also caught in, and at one point, the president was taken to the bunker in the White House. That's the Secret Service decision, not his. And they moved him down because there were reports that some of the vehicles around the area might be loaded with explosives or some kind of gas. They didn't know, and they weren't going to take any, not going to let up on any precautions. More than 50 Secret Service members were injured in that event. In Oakland, California, Friday night, as all this was beginning, a black federal officer was shot to death in the midst of one of these riots. Shot to death and a second officer wounded in critical condition. The younger brother of George Floyd, the man who was down on the ground with the officer's knee in the back of his neck, Terrence Floyd, says, "My brother would not like these violent protests." He said, "Don't tear up your town. Don't tear it up." He said, "Sometimes I get angry. I want to bust heads too. I want to just go crazy, but my brother wasn't about that, so don't do it." There are those asking for calm and consideration. And yet switched to Philadelphia. Also yesterday, protesters. In fact, they destroyed a line of police vehicles, started smashing windows, setting the cars on fire. In many cases, when a fire is set, firemen cannot respond even if they wanted to, and they don't want to respond unless they got full protection, and if the police aren't there to give them protection, they can't go in. And of course, if you're going to be doing all of this, you got to be ready for the ride. You got to have, if you're going to burn and loot and everything, you need to be ready. like in Chicago, breaking into the Magnificent Mile stores, and in New York, and in Santa Monica, California, in high-end stores, breaking into Louis Vuitton shops, stealing Louis Vuitton bags. Because if you're going to go to a riot, you really got to have the right bag, right? A Louis Vuitton bag. Does that have anything to do with bringing justice and dealing with the issue of what happened in Minneapolis? No, and they know it doesn't, and they don't care. Stealing TVs, bicycles, Louis Vuitton bags. Oh, and don't forget, you want a special treat after your night of burning and looting. And in Seattle, Washington, a rioter crashed through a cheesecake factory, grabbing a whole cheesecake and ran out with it. Oh, we're set for the night now. Enjoy.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I started out with one lone dollar, gambled with a man, and I won me another. Bought me a gun, and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I stand before you as a friend and ally to every American seeking justice and peace. And I stand before you in firm opposition to anyone exploiting this tragedy to loot, rob, attack, and menace. Healing, not hatred, justice, not chaos, are the mission at hand.
President Trump, Saturday, saying we need to have healing. He also said Antifa has a lot to do with some of the rioting going on, in his opinion. And other experts have said similar claims. And the president says we should label Antifa a terrorist organization, domestic terrorist organization. There are those who say, well, that would be unconstitutional. That's right. They're going to rely on the Constitution if they think it helps them. We'll see how the arguments come down on that, because it's still early, and get a full reading on the constitutionality of it. We do know the Attorney General Barr has stated that when it comes to the domestic terrorism, here was his statement. He said, it's time to stop watching the violence and to confront and stop it. The continued violence, destruction of property, endangers lives and livelihoods of others, interferes with the rights of peaceful protesters as well as other citizens. He said the violence instigated and carried out by Antifa and other similar groups is domestic terrorism and will be treated accordingly. Now, with what you've seen on your TV screen and heard about, maybe you've even been caught in the midst of some of it, the New York Times has an entirely different approach on what's happening. They had massive rioting in New York over the weekend, often breaking into high-end stores, running out with Nike shoes, bicycles, TVs, Louis Vuitton bags, whatever they could get their hands on. And yet the response from the New York Times in describing the riots, they looked at it as police riots. That's right. The Times reporting, video showed police officers in recent nights using batons, tear gas, pepper spray, and rubber bullets on protesters, bystanders, and journalists, often without warning or seemingly unprovoked. That was a clear statement, not necessarily a fact. And I will tell you this, nothing was unprovoked once you've got a riot underway. That was provoking. And you've already issued warnings before, and you're an unlawful assembly the moment you began to torch, burn, threaten, attack. You're no longer protected by the First Amendment. You have given it up. George Floyd's family is wanting, of course, an autopsy carried out by someone of their choice. They are bringing in Dr. Michael Baden, one of two hired by the Floyd family, to give them an independent review of how he died. The preliminary finding from the official autopsy concluded the combined effects of being restrained, potential intoxicants in Floyd's system, doesn't identify to what, and his underlying health issues, including heart disease, likely contributed to his death. Now, Dr. Baden was also involved in the investigation of the death of Eric Garner, the black man placed in a chokehold by New York police when they were trying to arrest him, and he was also saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. So Baden is now in Minneapolis and will be conducting his own autopsy, and we're told around 1 o'clock Central Time, right after we wrap up today's program, he might have a statement. And, of course, we'll bring that to you tomorrow, but I'm sure you'll hear it a little bit later today at some point. Another development that's come up in this story, reportedly, in fact, an attorney for George Floyd's family said, I think Officer Chauvin had to know George Floyd before this. He said they both worked at a nightclub as recently as last year. The club owner confirmed that, but the club owner also said, I don't know if they actually did know each other while they worked at the same venue. But the attorney representing the family is that while Derek Chauvin was an off-duty police officer, George Floyd was there as a security guard. So, according to that, possibly he knew who George Floyd was prior to the incident. There's a piece of video that has come out that shows a linkage that we did not have for a while. We had scenes of police getting George Floyd out of the car when they were called to investigate a bad check for $20 or something of that nature. He's reluctant to get out of the car, but doesn't really fight them, doesn't really resist, just kind of, you know, two officers escort him over the sides, set him on the pavement, then later decide to walk him across the street, put him in the police car, and at some point they've handcuffed him. And then, of course, the next incident we've all seen is he's face down, covered primarily by the police car, but you can see Officer Chauvin with his knee buried into the back of the neck of George Floyd. And George Floyd is saying repeatedly, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, my stomach hurts. And Officer Chauvin did nothing to ease up, even though he's obviously, at that point, on the ground, restrained, under control. Just before that happened, as they were apparently going to put him in the patrol car, the video indicates Floyd almost dropping to his knees. At first, it's not easy to tell if he stumbled, tripped on purpose, or stepping off a curb onto the sidewalk, kind of also. Or the other thing is, some are saying he was claustrophobic and apparently was getting overly anxious about already handcuffed, now being put in the car, and he just kind of collapsed out of fright or fear of what was going to happen next. That, of course, is still under investigation. They have now documented how long the former Minneapolis police officer, Derek Chauvin, had his knee on Floyd's neck. 8 minutes, 46 seconds. 8 minutes, 46 seconds, including 3 minutes after he stopped moving and talking. The EMS crew got there. They said they checked for his pulse repeatedly on the route to the hospital, and they did not get one at all. Now, again, the preliminary autopsy says he did not die of strangulation, but other complicating factors. But the incident itself contributing. We'll see what Dr. Baden has to say later today, if it's differing or adding to or detracting from the original preliminary autopsy. But, of course, for the left, this is, again, an opportunity to bash Trump, to make Trump responsible. Jake Tapper of CNN and NNN says Trump is not a leader. And Tapper's acknowledging we also have a virus to deal with, but he says Trump's not a leader, and so many question his entire ability. Just listen to this.
The United States of America is in crisis. This unrest, not seen in decades to this degree, comes as the nation is still suffering under the weight of a pandemic that has now killed more than 103,000 Americans and left more than 40 million without jobs. Perhaps it is an obvious point, but the unemployment and pandemic crises that the United States was already suffering through are now going to be much worse with the destruction of businesses and with mass crowds continuing to gather. With the apocalyptic scenes that played out live on television last night, some in the White House have been discussing whether or not the President of the United States, Donald Trump, should say something in a national televised address, something to try to unite the country, to try to calm tensions. But frankly, after tweets threatening protesters with vicious dogs and ominous weapons, and years of the politics of division, even many of President Trump's allies are not confident that he is up to this task.
I'm going to break that down. He is stating things as if they're fact when they're not. First of all, sources inside the White House. Once again, put a blanket over it, say, somebody told me, can't tell you who. And there may be some in the White House with that attitude, I don't know, but they may be also just passing through the White House, and yet they make that remark. Who knows with the way the mainstream media deals with it. But I will clarify you, when he said Trump was talking about attacking protesters with dogs and vicious dogs and weapons. No, not protesters. Not protesters. Rioters. Not those protesting lawfully under the First Amendment. But when you stop and you put down your sign, whatever it may read, and you pick up a rock or a Molotov cocktail or anything else to start throwing at police or at buildings, setting fires, threatening, hurting intentionally, that's when, yeah, the dogs could be let loose and you might face some ominous weapons. But that's not the same as what Tapper was saying. And then, of course, then to lump in, and even some foreign leaders are not sure he's up to the task. Togwash, that's one of the kinder words I could say about it. Well, I got other words I could say, but I'll probably pass on that for right now. DeRoy Murdoch, contributor to the National Review. In the last hour, I let you hear him say how we have gotten to this point because leaders, other leaders, are just kind of, well, let's give them a little bit more space. Let's let them vent. Let's let them have a little bit more. And pretty soon, they continue to accelerate and accelerate. And then you allow them to get to that point, and then you wonder, well, why? We should have done something. Again, here's DeRoy Murdoch.
It's one thing to say that you can't run a good school system or you can't take care of a homeless problem or whatever it is, but it's quite another when you've got people setting your police precinct on fire as the policemen run down the street in fear. That is nothing like civilization. That's called basically the state of nature. as Hobbes described it. And you let that sort of thing happen, and pretty soon you've got yourself a situation that nobody can control. We should expect one thing out of government, if nothing else, and that is to protect us and to maintain order. And I think if they'd arrested some people early on, maybe people would have thought, well, I don't want to spend the night in jail, so I better back off. Instead, the thought was, well, just let it rip, let them do what they want. And again, now, as you say, it's metastasizing like a cancer, starting off in Minneapolis and then spreading to other cities around the country. Absolute failure of basic political leadership.
DeRoy Murdoch, a black man, contributor to the National Review. And when he points out the failure of leadership, he's talking about in those cities where this has taken place. In every one of those cities, Democrats rule. Minneapolis, New York, L.A., Santa Monica, Atlanta. Although, again, I want to remind you, and I'll let you hear from her again before we wrap up this hour, the Atlanta mayor has had some very harsh words for these groups that think it's okay to riot and burn and loot. But others haven't. Others have kind of just taken that attitude. And the other day when the Minneapolis Police Department made the decision, somebody making the decision, would it be the police or the mayor of Minneapolis? I don't know. While they were gathering around one of the police district headquarters, the decision was, let's just leave the building to them. Let them have it. And when they did that, again, you gave them permission to go forward. And then you wonder why everything's so out of control. But again, if you listen to the mainstream media, Trump is to blame. They're going to come right back to Trump each and every time. I want to share a piece written by one of their analyst here in a moment. Trump shelters in the White House while America cries out for leadership. I'll break it down for you when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Former President Obama today making a statement in an essay he did for a magazine. His statement is, let's not excuse violence or rationalize it or participate in it. Key points. Let's not excuse violence or rationalize it or participate in it. And, of course, the mainstream media is quick to lap up those words and ignore the fact that Trump the other day said we need healing, not hatred. They want to go back to when he called some of these protesters, and they say protesters, thugs, and threatening violence against looters. He did threaten violence against looters. He didn't call the protesters thugs. He's calling the rioters thugs, and they are. But they want to say, see, you're accelerating it when you do that. You're making more people get involved and create more violence. If they're thugs, they're thugs, and we all know it. The president did also tell U.S. governors in a meeting, you need to act aggressively. Most of you, he said, most of you are weak. Boy, isn't that true. They are the ones who have acquiesced and continue to back up, and then they're wondering why it all blows up in their face. But when it does, they're not going to take the blame for it. The White House has to be responsible. So CNN, one of their analysts, Stephen Collinson, wrote a piece, while Trump shelters in the White House, America cries out for leadership. That's referenced the other night that President Trump, on orders of the Secret Service, was moved to an underground bunker because of the hundreds gathering outside the White House. Not necessarily fearing that they might break through, but apparently some cars parked around the area had not been checked, and they feared that it might have explosives. So in this piece, Stephen Collinson says, And again, here we go, taking the context, restating it incorrectly. Far from acting to restore calm, Trump's instinct has been to exacerbate the sense of crisis and division, blasting the demonstrators as thugs. What is it with these leftists? And first of all, it's not the demonstrators, it's the rioting. They are the thugs. You're marching peacefully, following your First Amendment rights. You're not to be called a thug. You're not a thug. You're exercising your First Amendment rights. But the moment you pick up something and start throwing it, trying to set fire to it, attacking folks, you are no longer protected by the First Amendment, and you do represent a thug. And they want to hear him speak. They want him to say something else. Come out and say that. He said it the other day. He said Saturday. We need healing, not more hate. But they don't really want to play that too often because it makes it look like maybe Trump is actually trying to call for calm. And that's the way this is written by their analyst for CNN. In normal circumstances, a president could be expected to call for calm and perhaps deliver an Oval Office address. You know, they want him in the Oval Office issuing another statement, another speech. I don't know if he will or won't, but what good is it going to be with the way they're going to interpret it and use it? Let's, in the next segment, talk about how news coverage has been dealing with these riots. There's some good, and there's a lot of bad. We'll pick up that part of the story when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Some of the sounds of the chaos of rioting happening across the nation. Numerous cities hit. Numerous businesses torched. Police vehicles torched. Officers fighting off projectiles thrown at them. 4,400 arrests across the nation. And were all of them involved directly in assaulting police or setting arson? Or were they just not dispersing when told and they got pulled in? I don't know, and that'll be sorted out, but some obviously were. I told you earlier that President Trump had been addressing governors in a phone call with them, and he made it very clear to the governors. He said, you have to dominate or you'll look like a bunch of jerks. You have to arrest and try people. And he did say, some of you governors, here's his statement. It's a movement. If you don't put it down, it will get worse and worse. The only time it's successful is when you're weak, and most of you are weak. And he's talking about the rioting that follows. Democrat in Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz, kind of got into a little bit of a tit-for-tat against the president when the president said the whole world was laughing at Minneapolis over the police station getting burned. And the governor tried to say, well, we did what we had to. The Illinois governor got involved and said, we need a president who's got a steady hand on top. Illinois Governor Pritzker, Democrat. Rhetoric coming out of the White House is making it worse. We got to have national leadership calling for calm and legitimate concern for protesters. President Zorin made that remark the other day. And again, if these folks are taking the same line they do with immigration, illegal immigration, they want to say the president's denouncing all immigration. No, illegal immigration. They want to say he's denouncing all protests. No, when it becomes a riot, that's when he's denouncing it. News coverage of the event, depending on where you are, if you're a local channel, how well it did it or did not. I would guess out of 50-plus years in TV news, I probably covered at least, I want to say, maybe close to 50 different such events. Not all riots. Some were demonstrations that got out of control, but they weren't really a riot. And I mentioned the other day, that's a word you really want to be cautious using. You do not want to use it if it's not to that level. But you also have to recognize when it reaches that level, it is the appropriate word. You can't dance around it. When you've got buildings burning, items being thrown at police, vandalism all over, looting, that's a riot. But NBC, apparently NBC, was sending word to its reporters as to how we should refer to things. One NBC host and co-anchor today, Craig Melvin, pointed out something as to how the network is telling his reporters and anchors to deal with it. He said, this will guide our reporting in Minnesota. While the situation on the ground in Minneapolis is fluid and there has been violence, it is most accurate at this time to describe what is happening there as protests, not riots. At one point it was. But at the time that came out, it had already gone past protest. One of the Fox affiliate reporters tweeted out, what kind of alternative reality is this where the mass looting and burning of businesses is not considered a riot by a news network? A protest is what we had in L.A. last night. What's happening in Minneapolis? Textbook definition of a riot. Protesters don't loot, period. Dan Gaynor with the Media Research Center. He said, tell that to the store owners whose businesses burned down. Another one stating, NBC says the riots are not riots. These protests must have magically caused spontaneous combustion that lit buildings on fire, threw flat-screen TVs into the hands of innocent protesters, causing hands to slam hammers into cash registers. What a wild series of events. Now, his remark, they must have caused spontaneous combustion. Don Lemon came close to trying to make that statement the other day when he's talking about it and saying, you know, people do what they do. They act out whatever. And, you know, the fires, however they might have started. By accident, he knew there wasn't an accident. But again, they're looking to excuse. And every time you do that, you enable. And again, I don't see any mainstream media on the left saying we condemn this. And then you come to social media platforms, because they're all part of the news operation now as well. Twitter, of course, had decided the other day it's going to start cracking down on any items it sees on the Twitter account that they could label as false, misleading, and put up a caution that you need to check for more facts, primarily aimed at the president. And I mentioned the other day, there is no doubt that Twitter is being used to coordinate some of these attacks and rallies. And I don't mean just gathering for a protest. I'm talking about for violence. Some of the tweets have been documented here by Breitbart News. One says, "Let's riot and raid Santana Row." That's in the California area. Another one, "They're hitting Santana Row tonight," with a question mark. Someone else responds, "Santana Row hasn't even issued a statement regarding everything going on when they're very active on social media. They deserve to get looted." Another one saying, "It would be a shame if Santana Row was to get looted." And that one got followed by one saying, "Let's riot and raid Santana Row, LOL." And that apparently got shared more than 100 times. Still another tweet coming out, "Next looting stop, Santana Row in San Jose." Still another one, "Loot and protest Santana Row, eat the rich." There's nothing in there about justice for the death of George Floyd. There's nothing that's peaceful about it. They are inciting rioting and looting and arson and violence. And Twitter hasn't pulled their accounts, shut them down. Once again, it's a clear example of the hypocrisy that exists. There's no way to get around this. I mean, they're going to always try to tell you, you know, that we're going to be fair. They're not going to be fair. They're going to do everything they can to disrupt this nation. And in their view, anything that does that is also damaging to this president. Oh, they're making a lot of headlines out of the president telling some of these governors in a meeting, "You need to act aggressive. Most of you are weak." I side with the president on that. Most of these governors are weak. They're close to the snowflakes that surround them. They've allowed it to get to this point, and then they wonder, why is it out of control? Blame Trump. The funeral is set for George Floyd Thursday. That is, again, going to be a possible point of contention and another opportunity for those who want to come in and riot and loot and create arson and mayhem and chaos. There will be protests, hopefully peaceful. But make no doubt about it, some others are going to look at that as another opportunity for another chance to break in. And I didn't get my Louis Vuitton bag. I need to go back and get a couple. And I'm going to share something with you, and this is probably going to be treated by some as, well, let me see, what's the best way to do it? Maybe some are going to look at it as a windfall or a silver lining in all of this. If you're being honest about it, if you're being honest, what I'm going to tell you does not do anything to make up for the loss of George Floyd for his family. That'd be my opinion, and I'm going to stick with that. But I imagine they're going to get some labels put on them when this news begins to get bigger and catches fire. One of Floyd's brothers created a GoFundMe page to, quote, cover funeral and burial expenses. Maybe men on grief counseling for the family, and maybe any money left over to benefit and educate his children. And he admitted maybe travel and lodging as the family continues to seek justice for George. As of yesterday, that GoFundMe page has had more than 247,000 individual donors. That does show a widespread support. And the 247,000 have contributed more than $6 million. $6 million. There will be those crass saying, well, the family's getting rich off of this. I don't want you to look at it like that. But it happened. It's a fact. And again, the other fact is that money's not going to bring him back. Some final notes when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Buddy, you're a boy, make You big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing,
We will rock you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You are disgracing our city. You are disgracing the life of George Floyd and every other person who has been killed in this country. We are better than this. We're better than this as a city. We are better than this as a country.
That is the Atlanta mayor, Lisha Bottoms. Black woman in Atlanta City. I'm sorry, in Atlantic, I should say. Atlanta, I'm sorry. And making it clear that those who are causing the riots and so forth, you're disgracing everything we're trying to accomplish. You're disgracing the death of George Floyd, and we are better than that. And I'm glad she took that statement and made it so firm and direct. Yes, they had violence in Atlanta as well. But she's called it exactly as it is. The only thing she didn't do is call them thugs. I would still call them thugs. Trump has called them thugs if they're burning and looting and causing chaos like that. But the left wing and Democrats in general don't like that term because it might paint them in a bad light. You think? Yeah, it does because of what they're doing. And here you got the Atlanta mayor calling them out. She didn't use a term, but they got the message. Also want to point out to you again, I'd mentioned it previously, but it's worth mentioning again. In several of these cities where they've had looting and arson and other kinds of vandalism, volunteers showing up this morning to start trying to clean them up, clean up the areas, pick up the broken glass, help board up shops, getting rid of the graffiti, volunteers coming out, men, women, young, old, black, white, whatever, they came out because that's what they believe about their community. And they want to put it back. And they might not even actually live in that particular neighborhood. It happened in Ferguson yesterday and again this morning. It's happening elsewhere across the nation. Because they recognize we are all in this, even if I don't live there. And then you get somebody like this next guy. This is a former ESPN writer. And if he were running for ESPN today, I'm sure it would definitely be former. I don't know under what conditions he left. He was a former basketball reporter, Chris Palmer. I can't even place him. I don't know it. But when all the violence was going on in Minneapolis Thursday night and they were beginning to burn and loot, and they burned down, if you recall, a public housing project that was under construction to provide affordable housing for many in that area. And they were burning down strip centers that service that community, and including in one of them a charter school to help the kids in that community get a better education. They were burning it all down. They didn't care. So Chris Palmer put out his tweet saying, while with the tweet of the burning building, the development being burned down, the housing development, burn that S down. Burn it all down. And 2 days later, Sunday morning, he wrote later Sunday as to what happened that morning. He said, they just attacked our sister community down the street. It's a gated community. They tried to climb the gates. They had to beat them back, then destroyed the Starbucks, and are now in front of my building. Get these animals the F out of my neighborhood. Go back to where you live. Oh, I see. Once the rioting comes to your neighborhood, it's not so funny, is it? And now they are animals, whereas before you were praising them. Burn it down. Just burn it all down. Well, of course, he got some backlash off of that immediately. He tried to delete the burn it down tweet, but then he still jumped on Twitter and tried to defend himself. He said, I took rubber bullets and tear gas yesterday on the front lines. I risked my life trying to get pictures and video. Another one, he insisted, it's perfectly fine to want other people's neighborhood burned down while his is protected. In fact, someone said you can't be with the chaos 1 minute, and then when it's at your front door, you switch up. His answer? Better damn well believe I can. Tear up your own S. Don't come to where we live and tear up my neighborhood. We care about our community. If you don't care about yours, I don't give an S. Do you imagine the people that lived in that Minneapolis neighborhood, that really lived there and worked there? They wanted all that burned up like that. I mean, as I said, it had a lot of amenities for them. A charter school coming in, affordable housing being built. Now, most of those apparently arrested that first night, a couple nights in Minneapolis, were from that area. They weren't from out of state or anything else. But it may not have lived actually in that neighborhood. There are those who rush to the scene because they just got to be part of it. They want to feel like they're involved in something. And they just also see, what can I get for free by looting? Make no mistake about it. Hopefully tonight will be calmer across the nation. Hopefully. But don't count on the mainstream media to help keep the calm, because they would love to see more fires and burning. Again, I thank you for listening. I do appreciate it. Please let your friends and neighbors know. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.